The first scripture reading today is from Job chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, and this is from the New International Version. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? The second reading is from Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. This too is from the New International Version. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard me cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. So ends the scripture readings for today. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
What is happening in this service is what happens daily in our lives. We shouldn't have to ask over and over again if we can have a time of remembrance of something that has happened sad. We shouldn't have to ask if we can celebrate because something absolutely wonderful is happening. There are ebbs and flow of every day. And if your expectations are for those to be even and constant every day, you are going to be so disappointed. You need to ride the wave because that's exactly what every day is like. We have been constantly talking about a new normal for the past 3 years. What are we going to do? When's the new normal? How do we react to it? What do we say? And you know what? It is what it is. And we should wake up every morning giving every day to God Almighty and say, walk with me. Walk with me that I would be aware of your presence in the morning when things can still look pretty good over that cup of coffee. Or as it goes on. Because by noon, it can all be shot, can't it? And especially if you have your TV on, heaven forbid. Because it can take you and it will take you under and you will feel overwhelmed and you will not know how to get back up if you don't know, guess what? This is life. The life abundant comes with you walking with God through that day. And we're going to talk about that marvelous, almighty God that we worship. I love that scripture in Job because it came as God saying to Job, okay, do you think you're God? Do you think you have the answers? And do you know what? I think down deep, most of us think we do have the answers. Because we have researched and researched and researched like crazy. And then we find ourselves going, I know a little bit more about that than you do. I love mysteries. I love to read murder mysteries. It has to have the murder part in there for me. Because that kind of gets out a lot of my angst without hurting any of you. It's wonderful. So I read murder mysteries and we watch murder mysteries. And Dan and I have been watching Father Brown Mysteries, okay, on PBS. And we've been just kind of going, and we almost... It's a competition because it's who you can say done it before the other one says it. you know, and it's always, you know, I wait till Dan takes a drink of iced tea and then I say who did it. And so we're big on the whodunits. We grew up on it. We grew up, you know, with Nancy Drew. We grew up with all these mysteries that help us go, guess what? I can figure this out. As Christians, this morning, I am telling you, this morning is just going to drive you crazy. Because it is a mystery that you cannot solve. It is a mystery you need to live into and have it take you through your day. Okay? And sometimes it just happens. Because what happens with a mystery is we want to solve it. We believe if we cannot solve it, they're hiding something. Because everything can be solved. Wrong. Sometimes we need to remember who we are and that we're finite. If it were the Lenten season, I'd be telling you, yeah, you're mortal. From dust you came, from dust you'll return, and you'll go, that was uplifting. But the thing is, you need to remember that you aren't God. And sometimes we need, periodically through the year, to remember that. There's a quotation that says, faith is a place of mystery, where we find the courage to believe in what we cannot see and the strength to let go of our fear of uncertainty. Fear resides in that uncertainty. We love to be certain of things. We love to share that with one another, whether it's asked for or not. But to be certain. Now, when someone comes to you and says, tell me about God, and you say, I can do that. I can do that. And you talk about the two aspects of God that you're familiar with, the majesty of God, the Creator himself, and also, he has chosen me. He has chosen me. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. That's in Job. And also in Psalm 36, your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. God's in charge, and we're good with that. We can sit down and go, okay, let's stop there. That is just great. That's what I'm going to tell my friends. And then came Jesus. Creator God became a man. Fully God, fully man. Now we're starting to get in territory that we go, I like God in his place. I like him to stay in this huge box that is Creator. But now he's come as fully man and fully God. I don't get that. I want him to either be all God all the time or all man all the time. But I don't get how they go together. And so we live with a passage that Paul keeps telling the people over and over again. In Ephesians, he says, as you read over what I have written to you, you'll be able to see for yourselves into the mystery of Christ. None of our ancestors understood this. Only in our time has it been made clear by God's Spirit through his holy apostles and prophets of this new order. The mystery is that people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives stand on the same ground before God. Listen up, church. They get the same offer. They get the same help. They get the same promises of Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board. Now, all of a sudden, Jesus has jumped out of the box. Jesus is not staying just the Jewish Messiah. All of a sudden, this gospel is open to everyone. This good news, this mystery. Well, I don't know if I like that. I think I like it when he just did this in Scripture, but I don't want to know about what he's doing here. Then Jesus tells Philip, wouldn't you love to be Philip in this one? Put yourself in his spot. Jesus says to him, you've been with me all this time, Philip, 3 years. Have you had somebody say, have you been with me all this time and you don't know who I am? And he says, to see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. So now Jesus is saying, when you see God, when you see me, you see God. And they're going, I was real comfortable with that Son of God thing. As long as you said you were the Son of God, I was comfortable. Because that was well known throughout history. In any kind of hierarchy, it was, I was the Son of the Son of the Son of the Son of. And there you were. And they said, yeah, we're comfortable with that. But man, you're saying you're God. And so throughout ages, people had to explain. Paul says in 1 Timothy, I hope to visit you soon, but just in case I'm delayed, I'm writing this letter so you'll know how things ought to go in God's household. That's you guys. We are God's household. So listen up. This God alive church, this Christian life is a great mystery, far exceeding our understanding, but some things are clear enough. And this is when he says, he appeared in human body, was proved right by the invisible spirit, was seen by angels. He was proclaimed among all kinds of peoples, believed in all over the world, taken up in heavenly glory. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus, the one who stepped out of the box. And then, this is the week after Pentecost. The birthday of the church last week. The time to say the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! We get to wear red. We're excited. But, once again, here's the Holy Spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And people that say the Holy Spirit is not in the Old Testament, shame on you. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Isaiah said, then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So, I want to teach you a little bit of sign language, and then we're going to see a video, okay? Make an A. You put your thumb on the outside. This is going to have you remember, as the Father. So say that out loud, as the Father. Now, stick your thumb in between your second and your third finger. That's a T. Say, through the Son. Then you make a B. By the Holy Spirit. So you're going to go, as the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Watch this 3-minute video. Don't time it, but it is 3 minutes. And listen
When I was a kid, my grandma would correct me if she heard me using bad grammar. For instance, if I told her something like, "My friend draws good," she would say, "No, Dale, he doesn't draw good. He draws well." Grammar lays out the basic rules of a language to ensure we're speaking correctly. And if you grew up with a grammar like mine, you'll know that good grammar is essential to effective communication. So, Christians believe that God is Trinitarian. The word Trinity means three in one, and to say that God is a Trinity means he is one single, undivided God, and yet at the very same time, three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This can cause a lot of confusion among non-Christians, who know as well as we do that 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3, so either the Christians worship three different gods, or they just can't do simple math. Even many Christians find the idea of the Trinity difficult to explain, so they don't tend to emphasize it a lot. This confusion comes, in part, because often we think about the Trinity as though it were sort of a schematic that describes what God's inner workings look like. And because God is God and we're not, any attempt to sketch out a schematic for God is bound to fail. So perhaps a better way to think about the Trinity is as a grammar for God talk. Just like English grammar lays out the guidelines for using the English language correctly, the Trinity lays out the guidelines for speaking correctly about God. You see, the very first Christians were all first century Jews, and they took the teaching of the Torah very seriously when it says that the Lord your God is one God, and you shall love him with all your heart. There's only one God. That's the most basic rule of God grammar. But at the same time, they had encountered the man Jesus Christ, a first century Jew who taught them to pray to God as if they were talking to a loving father. And then they saw him crucified and rise again the third day. And here's the thing, their encounter with the living Jesus was so profound that they began to worship him as God. So, Jesus is God. That's another rule of God grammar. But then, if someone were to ask them, "Are you saying that Jesus is the same as God the Father?" they would have had to say, "No, Jesus is fully God, otherwise we can't worship him. But at the same time, he spoke to God as his heavenly Father and taught us to do the same. So Jesus is not God the Father. To say that would be bad grammar." Of course, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, the Holy Spirit came and filled those first Christians up to overflowing with his love. And the experience they had of the Holy Spirit was just like the experience they had of Jesus. So they started talking about the Holy Spirit in the same way as they did Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God. Good God grammar. But the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us and reminds us of his teaching, so he's not the Son or the Father. To say that would be bad grammar. The Trinity then lays out the guidelines for speaking correctly about God. There's only one God. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. The Son is not the Father and the Holy Spirit is not the Son. All those statements are good grammar. But if we say that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all just different appearances of the same single God, or if we talk about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as though they were three different gods or one was not God, in each of those cases, we're using bad grammar. But if we say something like, "The grace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all," in that case, we're speaking good about God.
About God. Some people will say the essence of God is throughout all of them, and you need to remember that. But you know what? You're not going to be able to get in your car today and say, "I got it." You're not going to be able to go to lunch today and say, "Let's discuss this because I know the answer." It's not going to happen. Probably as Christians, we are more uncomfortable with mystery than we are anything. I don't know some things about God. I think I've told you about my friend Ruth. Ruth and I would get together and we would eat string cheese and garlic dill pickles. Yes, we salted out. At the time, Ruth was 85 when we would meet for cheese and pickles. And we would talk and we would talk, and she was a mentor and a wonderful woman, and one day I just went, "I don't get it." And she said, "Hallelujah, you're finally growing up." And I went, "What do you mean by that?" And she said, "When you are comfortable in saying, 'I don't know,' then you're growing up. You're letting God be God, and you're not trying to step on his toes. And you're not trying to say, God the Creator, stay in this box. Jesus the Redeemer, stay in this box. Holy Spirit, the Sustainer, stay in this box. When guess what? They're all the same box. It's that 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. And no matter what, there's going to be a time when we just say, God, you know it. I don't. Let me take your hand and follow you. Because when we realize that God the Creator is the same as God the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, as Jesus promised, resides in you. Out of the box once again. The same Spirit when he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The same Spirit that released Paul and Silas from prison, who spoke the book of Revelation to John, who formed the foundations of the world. This is the very same Spirit that works in your life when you ask Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So every once in a while this week, I want you to set out 3 things and go, I can do this. I can talk about God. I can talk about Jesus. I can talk about the Holy Spirit. But the Trinity. And that's when I want you to bow in submission to our God and say, I don't get it. Let me take your hand. Let me follow you. Let me believe in you, God, the 3-in-1. Amen and amen.